Hey guys, welcome back to the Step Forward podcast where Katie, Maggie, and I grace you with our beautiful voices. So today we're going to be asking each other some questions and just talking about life and you know what? The Spirit's going to lead us. So what's our first question, Katie?
Maggie, I see that you have a cup of coffee on the table right now.
Oh yeah.
Do tell us, what is your coffee order?
Okay, well, the first thing that comes to my mind is, let me just give you a little of my coffee history.
Okay.
I did not like coffee at all in high school, and then my bestie, Lauren, loved coffee. Shout out to her. And so I'm not even kidding. Like, throughout the years, my coffee order has, like, mirrored hers. Like, she used to go to Starbucks and get the praline latte with almond milk. And then I did. And then, like, as the years have gone by, like, forever, everywhere I went, I would get a vanilla latte. Like, that was my go-to. But this year, I changed it up. And now, every single coffee shop I go to, no matter where I'm at, literally, like, it doesn't matter whether it's Starbucks, Lola Beans, love that place, even just, like, a random coffee shop downtown, I will always get an iced latte with oat milk and honey. Every single time.
It's like this is
every
a power
single
combo.
Time. Not, every single time it hits.
I feel like that's how we bonded, was the fact that I remember the first time we hung out, we're like, wanna go get coffee at Lola? And we did. And I kid you not, like, because I'm so the same. I get honey lattes all the time. Except for if I go to Crumbleberry, I get their maple latte, which is so good. Because it's literally just maple syrup. Like, that's what they sweeten it with.
Yes.
Wow. And it's so good.
You should try it with coconut milk and maple syrup. It's called a cocoa coffee, and I discovered it in Europe. Shout out Italy, anyways. What? It is so good. I also get that at Crumble.
Do they have coconut milk at Crumble?
Yeah, they do. And it's delicious.
Next time I go, I will do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But a honey latte?
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
You cannot go wrong. Because, like, I love vanilla, but sometimes it's just too sweet, you know?
I'm not a huge fan of vanilla. Yeah. I get honey, and then I have them add, like, cinnamon powder a lot of the time.
That's good, too.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's really good, too.
That's my Lola order. It's honey latte with oat milk, add cinnamon powder.
That's good.
It's pretty good. Do you get sometimes they get too much. Oh, sorry.
Oh, wait, sorry.
No.
What's your coffee order,
Jim? Okay, sorry. Oh, my God.
Okay, so like Maggie, I hated coffee, like, in high school, and then I kind of got into it towards the end, and my best friend loves coffee, too. Like, she's obsessed with it, and she had a Keurig. Maybe not the best coffee to start off with, but anyways.
So, I was like, wow, really high up there, Keurig coffee.
Now living large. Anyways, so I think I have really hot takes, or maybe, like, I don't know, unusual coffee orders. So I'm from Oregon, and so there's this coffee place called Sisters Coffee, and it's quite literally some of the best coffee
I've
ever
had.
Yeah, we should go together.
Can we go?
Yes, I will.
After we hike?
Oh my gosh.
Guys, okay, side note. I'm working at Big Lake Youth Camp this summer, which is where Jerrica used to work too, and also she's from Oregon. So she's going to come up, and we're going to hike South Sister.
Yeah, we're going to climb a mountain. You're invited. You're in Italy.
Yeah,
sister.
Okay. We're just over
you
here.
Can't even.
We're over here trying to survive in Oregon
while you're in glasses.
While you're in Italy, okay?
No,
we
Maggie,
do not feel bad.
You are more than
for
welcome.
You.
You can fly across the world.
Okay, I'm kidding. You should.
Anyways, we wanna climb South Sister. It's a mountain. It's pretty difficult, but we're gonna conquer and slay. We will not be
Big Lake staff that dies.
Well, they died on a different mountain.
Oh, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. We're chilling.
Nobody ever dies on this one.
We might get lost. I don't know if we'll die. Anyways, so yeah, so at Sister's Coffee, I love to get an iced latte with oat milk and raspberry flavoring, and it is delicious. And I've never liked a raspberry latte from anywhere else. Guys, trust me, it's so good. It's so good.
Okay, but
so
only good. From this coffee shop.
Only from this coffee.
Okay,
shop. That's what I would
I
get
stand by
all
that.
The time last summer, and the summer before that, it was like I was super into oat milk lavender lattes because that was all the rage, mm-hmm. and I loved that. But now, and then in Italy, no, wait, I'm getting sidetracked. When I was at Walla Walla, all I got was just oat milk lattes with no flavoring because I really like strong coffee.
Mm-hmm. Do you drink black coffee?
Yeah, I do. I really like it.
Of course you do. You're from Oregon.
But then I like had to stop because I felt like my teeth were getting a little too yellow. And I was like, oh my gosh. So then I went to, iced lattes. And then in Italy, it was just cappuccinos. And now it's just a vanilla latte. But you're right. At Oaks, like, they put in a lot of vanilla syrup. And it's so sweet.
I got the worst lavender latte from Oaks the other day. It was so bad. I was like, this tastes like, I don't know what it is. But you know what I have been on a kick at Oaks is their matcha latte with their honey orange blossom syrup.
Yes, you were telling me about that.
And it's really good. It's really good.
I like orange.
But I'm also a matcha girly, so.
I don't like matcha. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, when we're in Oregon, another side note, we should go to this coffee place called Back Porch. And Sam has like two hats from there. Anyways.
Yes.
And they do an iced matcha with orange blossom flavoring. And it is so good, Katie.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. So anyways, I'm sorry.
I can't wait.
What's your coffee order, really, Katie?
That's basically it. I feel like I've said them. Honey, maple. I like matcha. Not a huge lavender fan.
Same.
Yeah.
It's definitely gone away.
Oh my gosh. This is so funny.
What?
I'm just thinking about it. I was like in the car the other day with like, wait, Jared, I don't think you were there. Like, Sabrina, her coffee order is crazy.
No, it is.
She's like, and I went and I videoed her today, like when we went. I thought it was
so funny. What does she get?
She goes, hi, can I have an iced latte with, she's like, half sweetened or some half sweetened remedy or something, whatever that is. She's like, half sweetened remedy and half oat milk and half almond milk.
And then what?
Like, yeah, she tried this now.
And we were like making fun of her. Like, we're like, Sabrina, you're so complicated. And then like we combined, they're like, what do you want? Like we were just saying like, oh, what do you want next? Like a medium?
Like, half small? A medium?
Like, half small, half medium? Like, we just did all these halves. Yeah.
When you have commitment issues on a whole nother level.
Sabrina, if you're listening, we love you.
Girl. Yeah, we love you.
We love you.
Yeah, we love you, girl. Anyway, I just thought that was funny, especially like because it happened today. She's like
a smarge.
A half
smarge.
Yeah. Anyways.
I want to try it, Sabrina. I want
it. That's so funny. Okay, are you ready for the next question?
Yeah.
Okay, how many kids do you want?
Zero.
So you don't want any kids?
Zero.
But you have to tell them how many you used to want.
Okay.
And you need to tell us your reasoning behind
it. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I don't know why. Okay. When I was younger, I was like, oh, two kids is the perfect number because like, you know, they fit in cars easily. When you're flying, when you're like in a hotel, it's fine. Perfect. Two kids, whatever. And then I was like, oh my gosh, what about eight kids? Because, like,
she wants a basketball team.
I was like, five kids could, like, be a basketball team.
And three sub in.
I don't know what I was on. I'm not kidding. I'm dead serious.
I would create a basketball team.
Oh my God. And then I was like, no, Jerica, you're on, like, crack. Like, maybe four. Because for a long time, ever since I could remember, I wanted twins so badly. Mm-hmm. Like, I would pray every single night that God would give me twins one day. And I was like, four, because I didn't want three, because that's like an odd number. I come from a three-children family.
Okay. I do too.
Here's the thing. I used to think, like, I used to swear, I was like, I'll never have three kids, because someone's always left out.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I'm kind of changing my mind, where I'm like, it is kind of the perfect in between of having like a big family, but not too big that it's obnoxious.
True.
And also, I really love the fact that my siblings have each other now that I'm out of the house. Like,
but RIP the young one.
Yeah.
Like my sister, she's all alone.
That's so sad.
But she has her friends, so she's fine.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know.
But yeah, I was like, maybe not three. So four is a good number. And now we're at zero. Preferably the twins would be the oldest. And then I was like, zero, because I learned so much about pregnancy. I learned how much a child costs and like your body changes and like you become poor. Like, I don't know if I want that. But I will say, I would so much more so,
nice
more
English.
So, I would more so adopt than give birth.
That's valid.
Because I was adopted. Like, my two siblings were adopted. Yeah. Like, I love that process. And I think also fostering children would be really cool to do so, too. Really cool. But just the fact of birth, like,
stresses you out.
Yeah, it stresses me out. And I saw this video. This girl was talking about how all during her pregnancy, like, she's at, like, 6 months. And in those 6 months, she's had to get her blood drawn, like, six times. And guys, if you know me, I stress about you.
I'm the most worried about getting your blood drawn after birth.
Girl, what? No. Like, this is during her pregnancy.
Oh.
And like, because I got my blood drawn, like, a couple months.
Maggie's shaking her head. Maggie is shaking her head right now.
I got my blood drawn, like, a month ago or maybe two. I don't even remember.
I pass out every time.
I was, like, freaking out. Like, I couldn't sit up. She had me lay down and I was, like, dizzy and I, like, cried. Like, I can't do it. I hate that. And imagine having to do that once every month while carrying something that's so huge in your body. And, like, you have to pee all the time. You can't sleep well. You, like, gain a billion pounds and, like, your emotions are a wreck and it's so expensive. And then, like, it just is pain.
Okay. But, okay. Like, yes. But.
Also, no.
Yeah. Because, like, okay, yeah. There's so many downsides, I feel like. But I also just think it's such a beautiful process. Like, a person. No, it is.
It is.
No,
like, I agree.
A person,
I think it
like.
Is.
Like, okay.
To be able to create life is crazy.
And then, like,
also, the fact that God gave us that ability is mind-blowing.
And then, like, also, it's, like, a whole nother person that has, like, a new personality, a new character.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
All of these things,
there's no copy.
That was a reflection of you, your partner, and your ancestors.
Yeah. And I just feel like it's, I remember taking AMP1 when I took it, and I was just like, there is no possible way that God is not real. Like, mm-hmm. the fact that, mm-hmm. like, all of this is happening in our bodies, like, as we speak, like, so many things are, like, happening and we're not even aware of it. And people just, like, have a belief system where it just, like, happened. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's no way. There's no way that there's can be something, like, so intricate and precise, and yet we're not even aware of it. And then the fact that, like, we get to have birth, like, what? Yeah. You know? And then, like, we have a kid who's, like, a part of us, but yet they're their own individual. Like, crazy to me. It's so, like, crazy. I understand the whole entire, like, not wanting to have kids, because I'm not trying to, like, disagree with you or anything, because I get it. Like, and also, I, blood and just, like, bodily fluids and all those things just really, they disturb me. Like, they get to me. So, like, the process of having birth, like, actually really does scare me, but I just know that it's, like, such a blessing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, the end,
it's a miracle.
Worth it.
That's
what everyone says. When they hold their baby for the first time, it's all worth it.
It's going to be really funny, like, 10 years from now, if any of us have kids and we're listening back to this podcast.
I'm probably going to be the one that has four kids.
Yes.
That's
we all know.
We all know. I was telling Katie, I was like, if I have one child that, like, we weren't, like, maybe it wasn't planned, you know, it just kind of happened, whatever. Anyways, okay. I would have another one because I don't want them to be alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True.
Anyways, that's my piece. What about you?
I love it.
Yeah. I definitely want, like, three or four kids for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't need to have
them. I'm at the two or three mark.
Really?
Because they got, listen, man, I'm not driving a minivan. Love you, Maggie, but I'm not driving a minivan.
It's not my choice to drive a minivan.
So. You rock it.
You it actually rock
well,
it.
Maggie.
It's not my choice.
All seven of us, like, packed in the minivan driving to Nashville.
Okay, but that's so fun.
Vibe.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
Also, Maggie gives, like, the best mom vibes in the
country.
You're going to. But, like, the cool mom, you know? Like,
yeah, like the one that pulls up in her.
The life. One that everyone wants to be friends with, you know, that takes the kids everywhere.
Like soccer. Yes.
100%.
With her lattes.
Yeah. Her honey lattes. Oh, mercy. That's funny. Okay. Enough about kids. What books have changed your life the most?
Oh, I know.
Heather Thompson Day, I'm calling it.
Brené Brown.
I was gonna say Brené Brown.
Oh, darn it.
she does this book called she has this book called Braving the Wilderness, and I read it when I was in Italy. I never actually finished it, but I read, like, the majority of it, and it just blew my mind. Like, I was just like, wow. And also, like, I think the biggest takeaway I have from it, and I feel like I've talked about it so much, is she has this one chapter titled, like, oh my gosh, every single, I literally reference this chapter title so much, and I always forget it. It's, and I know I've talked about it before. It talks about, like, people are easy to love close up, or like, they're easy to hate from far away, easy to love close up, so move in. And it's just like, it's this whole entire concept that like society wants us to believe that we have to be surrounded by people that believe and like the exact same thing as us, but we don't have to. And like, what happens is like, when you do get into groups where you think, oh, these people are supposed to believe 100% what I believe, and then they don't, then you start to feel so alone, like, just like, I don't know, anxious, because you're like, wow, like, am I the only person that thinks this way? And she's like, we need to reprogram our minds to believe that, like, it is so valuable to have people in your life that believe, like, differently than you.
Yes.
Anyways. Wow. Yeah. And I just think that's, like, people are easy to love close up, so move in. And I just think that is, I don't know, such big advice for me, because I feel like I definitely struggle with, like, being judgmental. And it's like, when you know someone from far away, you judge their life. But as soon as you get to know them personally, you're like, have so much more empathy, so much more grace, so much more mercy, even if you have heard things about them in the past, you know? Yeah.
This is so crazy, Maggie, because literally, like, a couple years ago, I went through a breakup. And, like, I remember Instagram is so toxic sometimes, but I remember looking on Instagram and seeing like a picture of this girl with my ex, and I just remember having like so much anger in my heart. Like, it wrecked me that day. I was just, I mean, you know how it is, you go through a breakup, you see this, like, you're so angry. And I just remember being like really mad about it, and the next day, for whatever reason, I just felt like I needed to go to Sabbath school, and so I did. And I sit down, and I kid you not, I sit down and I look, I just walked in and sat down somewhere randomly. And I kid you not, I looked over and saw who I was sitting by. And it turned out to be that girl that was on Instagram. And literally, I felt like God was saying the same thing to me, where he was just like, you can't hate from close up. Like, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
I didn't create you to hate. And so, like, the only way for that to happen is if you maintain distance from people. Because as soon as you're close up, like, the instincts I created you with kick in of, like, deep love for one another. And literally, she turned out to be the coolest person ever. Like, super good friends with her now. And it was just really funny, because it went from complete hate. But it was all because I was in my room far away on Instagram.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and then as soon as God, like, plopped me right, like, I couldn't have gotten closer to her.
Right.
I was like, I just
sit down, Katie. I have a lesson.
God was like, take that, Katie. No, but it's true. Like, as soon as you get close to someone, it's impossible to hate as much as you could if you were far away. So, like, if you're struggling with feelings of hate towards someone, like,
move in.
Yeah.
Hang out. Be close.
Oh, that's really
good. Like, let God's instincts kick in.
And I think, like, we put up these, like, walls and, like, boundaries for ourselves. Maybe not boundaries isn't the right. Well, we put up these walls, like, as defense mechanisms. You know what I mean? In order to, like, quote unquote, protect ourselves. But in reality, it just, like, prevents us from connection. You know? Yeah. And, like, I think we view connection as me and Jerica having the same, like, system of beliefs. But, like, in reality, we have similar ones.
Yeah.
But we don't have the exact same ones. Mm-hmm. And that's completely okay. And it's, like, and what's crazy about this is, okay, me and Jerica had to turn in a personal philosophy paper yesterday. And it's, like, crazy because I'm literally talking about what I taught in my paper. But, like, in her book, she talks about, like, people, when they come into conflict, they're like, let's just agree to disagree, right? But she's like, what happens is when you agree to disagree, someone within that dynamic is, like, letting their voice go unheard, or they're suppressing their true, like, feelings or, like, understanding of a topic or an issue, because they just want to, like, seek peace. But she's like, what happens is that, like, a lot of the time that leads to, like, feelings of, like, being misunderstood or assumptions being held. And she's like, rather than going into conflicts being like, oh, let's agree to disagree, she's like, truly, like, understand, like, really try and get down into the nitty-gritty of, like, the person's intention and, like, the seed behind the belief rather than just taking, like, it, like, as it is. And she's like, that will just allow you to, like, have so much more understanding for the person.
I think recently I've been really, I don't know, the concept of really seeing someone and understanding someone has really stood out to me, because I think in the last couple of years I've experienced a lot of situations where, like, I've seen the contrast between people in my life who seek to understand me and see me versus people who don't have time for that. And maybe they don't mean to, but, like, there are, have been a lot of moments in my life where I'm like, wow, you are not trying to see who I am as a person. And I think it's made me really aware of, like, man, how am I taking the time to see the people around me? Like, am I just seeing what they're saying, or am I seeing who they are? And I'm about to go on a student missions year, so I've been listening to a lot of lectures on, like, the effects of trauma and all of this stuff. And we were talking about just kind of dynamics where you end up working with kids who have gone through crazy stuff and the difference between seeing their actions versus seeing, like, the story behind their actions.
Right, yes.
And I think it's really important to remember that just because you're willing to see the story behind the actions doesn't justify the actions. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not saying that it's okay.
Right.
You're saying you want to see them. And I think it's important to know that you can hold those two things at the same time.
Yes.
Though on one hand,
oh my gosh,
your actions are really wrong and they've hurt me, or they've hurt the people around me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to drop that because that's valid and I need to process that. But then on the other hand, at the same time, taking the time to, okay, hold that in one hand. And in the other hand, how do I see the story behind your actions? How do I see you as a person? Because if I'm able to do that, I think it'll allow you to love beyond barriers.
Right.
While also having boundaries. Like, it's
to see the humanity behind everything.
See the humanity,
And I think it gives you, like, more, like, it gives you grace and empathy for the person and, like, where they have come from. But it allows you to recognize, like, okay, this is where you come from and I get that, but how are we going to move forward?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I think, like, God does the same thing with us, you know, like, it talks about, like, God accepts you right where you're at, but he doesn't leave you where you're at, you know?
Yep.
Like, he gets where you're coming from, but he doesn't want you to stay there. He's like, okay, like, now take my hand and let's walk and do this life together.
And find people who are willing to do the same for you, you know? Yeah. Like, find people who are willing to accept you and your humanity, but also see who you are as a real person and, like, be willing to have those conversations where we say, okay, we know where both of our hearts are at, but also we've hurt each other. And how do we hold that and process that and recognize that while also still seeing who we are as beautiful humans in Jesus that are broken sometimes, you know?
Right.
Wow. That was such a crazy rabbit hole, but I really loved it. Wow. I think back to the original question, the book that I have really loved is In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day by Mark Batterson. Yeah. And essentially the book talks about one of David's mighty men. And it's in 1 Chronicles 11 where it basically talks about Benaniah, where he just casually says he went and struck a lion and killed it inside of a pit on a snowy day. And it just talks about, like, following God into the crazy unknown and the miracles that he will provide. And it's just, it's such a good book. You should read it. I love it.
Okay. Well, I am an avid reader, but I haven't read as, like, many books as you guys have. But I will say two books. One that actually, like, transformed the way I thought about Jesus was The Messiah. And I've read that twice, and, like, once it was for a class, but once I just picked it up on my own. And I don't know, Ellen White does, or no, not even Ellen White, but it draws from her anyways. It just was so powerful. Like, it depicted Jesus in such a loving, like, way. You read about it in the Bible. Yes, he came down and died for us, but
it was just so deep. And I remember, like, after each chapter, I would just sit and I would journal or I would just cry. And, like, I don't know, that really changed my life. And then there's another one about the power of prayer, but I forget the title, but someone gave it to me. And it was about this guy, and he was a prayer warrior in, like, the 1800s, and his prayer transformed, like, history. And so there were, like, parts of the book where it's just, like, wow, to see someone who's so devout and, you know, just really, that's his whole identity. But also, like, I think that book really caused me to think about first my own life, but also things that I disagreed with. And so I really wish I could remember the name. I'll find it someday. And I'll just,
yeah, you'll find it.
I'll let the world know. But it was just like, wow, how can I, as a prayer warrior, be able to transform? But like, it's ultimately God who does that through me. Mm-hmm. So that's not my, you know, job to worry about that. But I don't know. I like those two books, yeah. The Unnamed and the Messiah.
I love reading. It's awesome. I wish I had more time for it. Transitioning to the next question, we're kind of getting to the end of the school year. We're going to be done with school soon. And there's been a lot that has happened this year. So how have you changed the most over this year?
Oof. I'm trying to think.
I mean, I went from wanting four kids to zero.
Big changes over here.
No. I think my first semester, I like struggled with my mental health a lot. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just like, okay, on Tuesday, like Pastor Anna asked us like kind of the same question. Mm-hmm. Like, how have you noticed, like, God worked through this year? And I just remember, like, when we went on retreat in the fall, mm-hmm. like, I was just so incredibly not myself. Like, my brain, I can't even describe to you, like, my brain over that retreat. And I just, like, Katie, that's where Katie met me. Like, I was a wreck. Like,
there's a lot going
on. I cried so much over that tree. I didn't know like anybody there. I literally sat in like this room where they do like worship and stuff like that. And also for context, like Tea Tuesday and like stuff like that's like all like with the job that me and Katie, or like the campus ministries like that me and Katie worked for, and they like take you on retreat in the fall before the school year starts and stuff like that. And I just remember like sitting in one of the rooms like where they do worship, and I was like just bawling my eyes out, like I don't even know. Like, it's just, it's, like, crazy to think about. And then, like, and then going on the retreat again for the winter. And just the difference of, like, where I was in the fall and where I was in the winter. And I feel like, you know, and I think one of, the, like, a impactful conversation I had was, like, with Pastor Anna one time. And she was like, Maggie, like, God works in your life like he works through the seasons. She's mm-hmm. like, there's seasons of, like, pain and sorrow and grief, but then there's seasons of joy and like thankfulness of like how God like brought you through. And I would just really say like I really am in the season of thankfulness because of like I've seen, even though like it was hard, so hard last semester, just like everything going on in my life, like God really, really, really led me through. And I'm not even kidding, I like stood in the shower the other day and I was just crying, and all I could say was thank you. I was just wow. like, thank you, Jesus. Like, like you really, really led in so many more ways than I like can even understand. And like, because of what you did and how you worked in my life, I feel like you've allowed me to show up for other people that are also struggling with mental health and like hard stuff. And all I can do is like be grateful and just. And I don't know, I've just really, I feel like that's where I'm at. I'm just in a season of, like, laying in my bed at night crying because of the grace and the mercy of God. And I'm just like, wow, like, I don't deserve this. And I don't even feel like I've had a season like this before in my life. I feel like I've kind of always been like, oh, yeah, like, God has grace, God has mercy. But, like, no, like, he has so much grace and mercy. And I just feel like I've come to terms with, like, how much I am a sinner, you know, and like how much I mess up just like daily, but like God just forgives and forgives again and again. And it's just, I feel like I'm just like kind of rambling, but I truly am just so, so thankful.
Wow.
Yeah.
I so relate. I feel like my journey has been interesting this year in that compared to last year, I think I have been blessed by deep friendship this year. And I think what changed that, well, one, God blessed me with incredible people this year. But I remember having a conversation with my counselor where I was just like, I feel like, you know how Jesus kind of had levels of friendship, like inner circle with his disciples and then the 12 and then like the all of the other people that followed him. And I remember saying, like, I feel like I'm really good at having the outer circle, but I don't have the inner circle friends. Like, I don't have the inner circle 12 or three. And she said something really powerful to me where she said, Katie, in order to have someone who is in your inner circle friends, like, you have to have two things. One is connection, and two is authenticity. And it was really interesting because I don't think I ever thought of connection as a variable. I thought of it as a constant. Just because of the way I was raised, I was raised to connect with everyone. And I feel like this year I started giving myself the space to not connect with everyone. And that was huge for me because I started connecting with the people who I truly connected with. And who really were pouring into me and I was pouring into them. And, it was such a big life change for me because I used to be in this place of like, if we're not connecting, then it must be some authenticity problem on myself or something like that, which was really toxic. Cause then now I'm like, well, I need to be more authentic, which I already was trying to be. It was just that, you know, now you're in this open wound mindset almost where you're trying to just be so authentic that you're just not everyone is meant to see or hear everything, you know, like that's for your inner circle friends. So anyway, long story short, I just feel like I started this year with the prayer of like, God, will you give me people that just pour into me and like are deep, close inner circle friends. And God has totally done that for me this year. And it's been such, such a blessing. Like it makes me think of last week filming with you guys. If you're listening, I think some of my favorite parts of this podcast have been our conversations, maybe off the podcast, also on the podcast. Yeah. But after last week's episode, the three of us just kind of were talking about how God had moved in our lives. And I just walked away being really, really grateful for the power of doing life together. Like, it's just such, such a blessing. And I think I'm the same as you, Maggie. I'm in such a state of thanksgiving for what God has done and blessed me with, and specifically in the form of just deep inner circle friendships and the power that that's had. Like I just, it's so cool. I think of the story of Luke 5 where the disciples like go fishing, or at least Jesus gets into Peter's boat, and they end up catching a bunch of fish because Jesus got into his boat. And Peter was out there by himself originally, and then when all of a sudden the net started breaking and there were so many fish, like his first instinct was to call all of his friends on board. And he like called all the disciples over and they started filling all the boats and all the boats started sinking. And I don't know, it's just, to me, it's such a beautiful picture of when God starts doing something cool in your life, like the best thing to do is to call your friends on board. Wow. And when you do that, like all of a sudden it goes from just your boat being full to now all of your friends' boats are sinking with the blessings that God has provided for you. And I feel like that's been the story of my life this year of like God started doing something in my heart and like he gave me the ability to like ask people to be on board with me. And because of that, it's just been this whole, like just such a full circle of blessings where I get to do life with other people and like, I would have lost all the fish, quote unquote, and the nets would have broken, quote unquote, if I didn't have those friends in my corner that said, yeah, fill my boat too. And like, sometimes it's with the blessing, sometimes it's with the burden, like to have those friends that bring their boat in too is just, oh, such a blessing. So,
well, I've definitely been blessed by your fish.
Thanks.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
No, I think this year for me has really been just like a learning curve because so many things have happened this year. Like I came back from my study abroad year and then I went to camp and then I changed schools. Mm. And so like, I guess that was 2023. Well, whatever. It has been such an adjustment. And I think it's been a year where God has just been calling me back to him over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Like, Jerrica, I have blessed you and I will continue blessing you because you are mine. Mm-hmm. But like, I want that connection with you. Mm-hmm. And because there have been so many shifts and so many dynamic changes, like, I think I've really like lost sight of that at times. Mm-hmm. But it's not like he's always pulling. I still feel that pull. And I've also like dealt with like resentment and feelings that like kind of maybe not unfairness, but kind of like how or why like this doesn't make sense that a certain situation is happening right now, or you know, maybe people aren't really seeing me for who I am. And like you were saying, Katie, like authenticity, like you are only yourself. Like you can't try to be more authentic because then you end up being someone you aren't. Yeah. And so it's like, and so I've definitely like struggled with that as well. So it's like really just coming back, quieting the noise, pushing that all away and just being like, okay, Jesus, you see me for who I truly am. I don't have to be anything else but here. And that just is really like, humble me. And there's been so many little lessons along the way, like this week. Like there's been a couple times where I'm just like, wow, God, okay, I needed that. Thanks for like sitting me back down or just like quieting the noise and just reminding me that you are here. And like I want to carry that into this summer, and I want to like, you know, of course forever. But I don't know, it's just definitely been like, I haven't, it's been kind of like this year hasn't, I don't know exactly how I'm like articulating this, but it's been a while since I've been humbled, or I've definitely gone through a season where it's like unknown, you know, an unknown season. And so I think God is just really just reminding me every day.
Taught you to rely.
Yeah.
Taught you to rely on him.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, I think I took the last like couple years for granted. Like, you know how you get in a groove where you're just like, wow, my eyes are so opened by the Spirit and so many good things are happening right now. Like it couldn't get better, but then you lose sight of him because it's so, I guess, good, or like things are just so smooth and stable and known. And then when you are put into a season where it's like kind of unknown, you're like, oh my gosh, what am I missing? Oh, I'm missing you because I've been relying on myself, you know? So,
Man, well, thanks for sharing. Yeah, I think to our listeners, as we start to wrap up this week's podcast, I don't know what you're walking away with from this podcast. We've talked a lot about a lot of random stuff, but I believe that God has something specific for you to walk away with from this episode. I know I have been blessed, and I guess my heart's desire would be for you to just be reminded that God is invested in you for the long haul. He will continue the work until it is finished in your heart. He's not going to give up on you.
He loves us as he finds us.
Yeah, exactly.
No, can I just say a lyric really fast? I was like, as we were just like talking about how we feel like God's worked in our life over the past year, like I like came before we started this podcast, I was like, Jerrica, remember the song As You Find Me by Hillsong? And she's like, oh my gosh, of course. And then we were just like singing it. And like, as you were talking, Katie, and then Jerrica, you as well, like, I just felt like it's just been playing in my head, like this lyric from the song, like, I was found before I was lost.
Wow.
And I was yours before I was not.
Yep.
Like grace to spare for all my mistakes, and that part just wrecks me. And I just feel like I've been wrecked. Do you know what I mean? By like how I was like, God was with me when I felt like he wasn't.
Yeah.
And
then
now, like,
So cool. Yeah. I remember I saw this graph one time where it was basically the whole Bible marked out by like a line with little marks in it that represented different books of the Bible. And above it was just all of the connections of passages that pointed to each other. And it basically depicted this massive rainbow of all of the connections between like different verses in the Bible and how it was one cohesive story. And I remember looking at that graph and Jesus just so intentionally saying to me, Katie, that's your life. Like, that's what I'm doing in your life. You are just walking the line that has all the tick marks of seasons of life. But little do you know, I am drawing a beautiful rainbow above your story with connections and just incredible stories that are going to build on each other. And I'm pouring into you and I'm placing people in your life that are going to bless you and then connect you to something I'm going to grow in you in the future. Right. And, yeah, just for our listeners for this week, I just pray that you're reminded that God is doing so much more than you have any idea. And if you faithfully walk the chapter to chapter, trust that he's drawing a beautiful rainbow of connections above your story. And he is just so invested in who you are. And as you can see, like, we've all just mentioned how we've grown this year, and it wasn't because of us. Like, we didn't start the year saying, I'm going to grow in this area. Like, Jesus just gently loved our hearts and, like, carried our hands through growth and through beautiful seasons and hard seasons. And, like, wow, you are loved. You are so, so deeply loved, and you don't have to try harder to be loved by God. He's already invested in you.
It's a matter of
fact. Yeah, he's already invested in you and he's invested in your story. So, yeah, we hope that you have a really blessed week. And we will see you next week. Thank you for listening.